Good evening and welcome to Around Cincinnati. I'm Ron Esposito. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening, and tonight we'll be talking with author Patty Farmer about her latest book, Playboy Swings: How Hugh Hefner and Playboy Changed the Face of Music. Patty Farmer is acknowledged as the leading expert on all things pertaining to music, entertainment, and the entertainers of Playboy. She's also a businesswoman and former model, and has followed the entertainment industry as an insider, as well as an avid fan and archivist all her life. Her work draws upon a lifetime of friendship and socializing among personalities and celebrities around the world. Patty splits her time between New York, Southern California, and France. Well, Patty, in reading your latest book, Playboy Swings, it's really apparent that the Playboy interviews with jazz musicians, the Playboy jazz festivals, Playboy records, the TV shows, the clubs, and the Playboy All-Star jazz polls were all part of a media empire, as well as a shift going on in American culture. Would you like to tell us a little bit about how all of this came about over a period of years?
My pleasure, Ron, and thank you for your interest. Thank you for inviting me on your show. My niche is entertainment history, and I love digging into the past and researching, as well as going directly to the source and talking to the performers who performed at different venues. And it was while I was doing this research, I kept coming across Playboy, this performer or that musician mentioned being discovered at Playboy or starting out at Playboy. And I was surprised to eventually learn that Playboy was the largest employer of entertainment in the country. I thought that was amazing. Number one, that they were the largest. And number two, that has never really been showcased. Never, as far as I could find out, a book been devoted just to the music and the entertainment. There have been books about the bunnies and about the ultimate playboy himself, Hugh Hefner, about the mansions and about everything else, but not about this great entertainment empire. And it was really an important part of our history.
You're pretty dead on there. I think other aspects of Playboy culture may have eclipsed the music, and also for me, how Playboy, through the clubs, the TV shows, actually helped in regard to integration.
It did. Many performers directly credit Hugh Hefner with helping to break the color barrier, both in the clubs and in the jazz festivals and on TV. Dick Gregory, he gave me a great quote. He said, "Hugh Hefner didn't care if you were black, white, or purple, only if you could swing an instrument, tell a joke, or sing a song." And that was very true. And we're going back to the 50s and early 60s when the country was still operating pre-Civil Rights Act of 1964, and we were operating with segregation laws. So for Hef to have black performers perform for white audiences and integrate the bands, integrate the festivals, both in the audience as well as on the stage, that was revolutionary. Yeah. And also, I have to say, on his TV shows, Playboy's Penthouse in 1959, to have Nat King Cole come out and sit on a couch with a white woman and discuss literature, you and I probably say, what's the big deal? But in 1959, that was a huge deal. And sponsors as well as networks dropped the show because of it.
Yeah, it was interesting. I can remember, I forget what years it was, but I did have the opportunity to see a few of the Playboy's Penthouse and Playboy After Dark television shows. And they were kind of cool. And I tell you, the talent lineup was out of this world, wasn't it?
People ask me, you know, well, who performed at Playboy? And I say, I have an easier time telling you who didn't.
Yeah,
because
right.
on those TV shows, you could see Tony Bennett, Sammy Davis, Cy Coleman, Phyllis Diller. I mean, the list goes on. Ella Fitzgerald. Again, I would have a hard time telling you who didn't appear. And again, Heft was very innovative with that because when he was offered the show, I'm sure they had more an idea of a variety show, kind of like the Ed Sullivan Show, where people would come out and sing a song or tell a joke and then maybe sit down and chat for a little bit. But Heft wanted it more intimate and made viewers feel like they were sitting in his living room.
Well, you mentioned Ella Fitzgerald. It's just like, wow, particularly at the time period we're talking.
I know. And the Jazz Festival, 1959. Again, everybody that Heff and Victor Lowndes wanted at the festival came. And this was the golden age of entertainment. So we had Ella Fitzgerald, we had Duke Ellington, we had Louis Armstrong, Count Basie and his orchestra. We had every single person, with the exception of Frank Sinatra, and not because he didn't want to be there, but he was making a movie. That, to me, was just remarkable.
Yeah, and the Playboy Jazz Festivals have been going on now for quite a few years, haven't they?
Well, the first one was 1959, and then they didn't repeat again until 79 because the company was busy building the clubs. They were opening what ultimately was 40 clubs worldwide, and they were opening them at a pretty fast clip. But once it started up, Heff announced it was going to be an annual event, and here we are in 2015, and we just celebrated another June at the Hollywood Bowl with the Playboy Jazz Festival.
I tell you what, Hollywood Bowl, now there's a real venue for you.
Oh my gosh, yes. And it's really a badge of honor to perform there.
A great place. And again, I'm always very impressed at the lineups that have been booked, and of course the eminent jazz producer George Wein at the helm, and we know this guy has been around.
He's the grandfather of jazz festivals, having put together the iconic Newport Festival, which I think every city around the country or around the world even uses as a blueprint for their festivals. And George just turned 90, still traveling around the world producing festivals. So both he and Heff, no grass growing under their feet.
What do you think it is about these guys that even at an older age still have fire in the belly, so to speak?
I think that's the key to almost anything. Finding something you love to do and just working at it and not letting up on it, keeping it fresh. Tony Bennett said, the genius of Heff was that he took having fun and made it into a business, and he was brilliant at it. And that's really true when you think of it. Everything, even the magazines and all the wonderful music, and he gave a lot of opportunity, not only to the black community, which certainly, once again, credit him with not only integrating, but helping advance their exposure, but to young comics, Joan Rivers, Phyllis Diller, Rich Little, Shecky Green, to musicians, Al Jarreau. Al Jarreau performed at the Playboy Clubs when he was still part of a duo, you know, and many people don't know that.
Right.
They think he broke on the scene with all his Grammys, but he performed at the Playboy Club as part of a group called Al and Julio. Sonny Rollins talks about how important the Jazz Festival was to him. He met Bob Cranshaw that first festival in 59, and they're still playing together.
Yeah, Bob's a great bass player, that's for sure. You made mention of the Playboy Clubs, and for a number of years there was a Playboy Club here in Cincinnati that had live radio broadcasts from on a weekly basis. I still know many of the DJs from that period who broadcast from the Playboy Club, and of course, many jazz musicians here in Cincinnati that were on the scene in that time period played the club and just was a classy atmosphere.
It was. And one of the, for that time, unusual features was the circuit. We didn't have clubs in every single city that were the same club. You didn't have the Cotton Club in Cincinnati and New York and Hollywood, where you did have the Playboy Club, and it offered musicians and singers the opportunity to work 2 weeks in Cincinnati and then go to New York and work 2 more weeks and maybe down to Florida. So it gave a lot of people income, and some went on to become household names, and other folks just were given the opportunity to work at a craft they loved and get paid for it and be able to raise a family.
So, Patty, let's touch on a few other things in regard to Playboy swings, how Hugh Hefner and Playboy changed the face of music. Of course, there is the famous Playboy interviews, and I remember reading interviews there with Miles Davis and John Lennon and Yoko Ono. The interviews were really something, weren't they?
They were amazing, and you mentioned Miles Davis. I think that once again shows Hef's commitment to jazz, because when the interview started in 62, Hef could have at that time had any movie star or sports figure or politician as his first interview, and he chose Miles Davis. And not only that, Miles was a brilliant musician, but he also had Alex Haley as a guy that interviewed him. Hef really did surround himself with the very best. And I have to say, I bounce back and forth. I say Hef and Playboy, and they're really synonymous, because even though Playboy grew from Hefner's kitchen table to a worldwide organization, it really stayed and remains Hef's baby. Hef's imprint is on everything.
Well, Patty, we just have a few more seconds left, and I'd like for you to comment on one other aspect of Playboy Enterprise, and that was the briefly lived Playboy Records. Can you tell us a little bit about that operation?
The records were kind of a stepchild, it appears to me. You had Victor Lowndes took over the clubs, and he loved the clubs. He did an excellent job with the clubs. Hef loved the magazine, and they did a good job with the record company. Surprisingly, the primary focus was on country, go figure, but it really wasn't nurtured like most of the other Playboy subsidies. You know, it was very good. It ended up being absorbed by Columbia, so it had a lot of, the library was good, the artists were good. But it just seemed to me that it wasn't pushed along like a lot of the other, the clubs or the festivals or the magazine.
Well, Patty, thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you for having me and your interest in talking jazz. As you can tell, any willing ears I have to chat with, I take advantage of it. Thank you.
You're more than welcome, Patty. Have a great evening.
You too, Ron. Thank you.
We've been speaking this evening with Patty Farmer, talking about her latest book, Playboy Swings, How Hugh Hefner and Playboy Changed the Face of Music. For more information, you can visit us at wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. I'm Ron Esposito. Have a great evening.